Thank you all again. Be happy to take questions on the budget or this or whatever. There's a mic over here.
If you can all just stay in your seats, I'll bring the mic to you. Raise your hand, and I promise we'll try to get to everybody. I have a few anonymous questions that I'll throw in between. So we'll start with Sammy.
As far as the areas where the repairs will be made, as far, do you have a schedule, or is there something that's already laid out?
There is an indecipherable map in that handout. You can get it much clearer. But the way this was done, and I'll let Pat speak to this a little bit more, we did this, and I have to give a couple of council members here a lot of credit. It would have been a very tempting thing to do to engage in what's generally known as political pork in this kind of process and just, you know, have nine separate funds, each one funded the same amount, and do work in nine districts. What the staff tried to do, what outside consultants tried to do, and what the council agreed with is that this was going to be done according to need. Every area of the city gets major work. Some areas have more road requirements, some areas have more storm drain requirements. Everything gets fixed to the extent this money will allow. And it will, for example, enable virtually every street to get to the good category. It will do all the storm drains, and the work will be done according to need. So the priorities will be help get set by the Citizens Committee, but we know the streets that we don't want those streets that are now poor to go into the replacement category, rebuild category. I'll let Pat add it to that if he wants to.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, the City Council during the past 5, 6, 7, or 8 years has charged our Public Works Department to isolate what the situation is for our public facilities, our streets, our sidewalks, our community centers, our fire stations. They've been given an index code on their repairability, basically. That's been done by not only our public works staff and public works engineer, but outside contractors, outside engineers who've come in and put that list together. So what we have is basically an independent third-party prepared list through our public works department and outside engineers that came up with the $571 million of priorities that the mayor's talking about. I do want to let everybody know the mayor had mentioned that we could hit the ground running in January. We can do that because we've got a lot of things that are lined up in our public works department where we have projects that we have designed, but we just don't have funded. So we'll be able to jumpstart that as soon as possible and even borrow money against the city in order to be repaid when these bonds come in. So we know that we'll immediately jump to streets and sidewalks. Things like the buildings are going to take just a little bit while longer because we have the California Environmental Quality Act, and we might have to do some architectural drawings. But we'll hit the ground running, and you'll see immediate work.
Okay, I'm going to take a couple of the written questions. This one's a two-part question. The bond measure includes wetlands acquisitions. How much is the element, and why is this considered infrastructure?
We have the amount of money in there, I believe, is about $20 or $25 million for not just acquisition, but restoration. We have areas of this city, one of them the East Gateway, which is the East Gateway to the city, which, quite frankly, looks terrible. It also is an area that can be restored, much like Bolsa Chica was, in terms of a really great wildlife habitat, a pleasant place to go, pleasant place to look at, a really nice presentation of the city. That we may or may not have to use those funds because it depends on whether rivers and mountains and the couple of state funds will be able to fund that. We put it in there because we may in fact fall short of that effort, and restoration is expensive. I can tell you I did it at Edison at San Dieguito down near San Diego in terms of restoring wetlands. It's very expensive. We already have two parcels I think we've acquired. There's one parcel that hopefully we'll still be able to acquire, but even if we acquired everything, you can't restore that. It's very expensive to restore it. We've got to start doing that as well. It's part of how our city, our peers, and it's part of life here. I think everyone here would at some point love to be able to walk around an area like that with wildlife habitat as you do at Bolsa Chica. That's why it's there. It's a relatively small amount.
Hi, my name's Paul DeYoung. I just wonder why all the concern now. This stuff's gone on for years. Tonya kind of let it out. When Tonya said our first priority is taking care of city employees, that too came in very clear. It seems like the city has been worried about its own family. She said our family is what the term she used. And why are you suddenly worried about neighborhoods? You've done everything. You've given yourselves raises. You've done fantastic.
Is there a question here?
Why now?
Yeah, well, why now? Because it has to get done. And let me respond to this, because I get this a lot, and it's an easy and, quite frankly, a relatively cheap shot to pick on city employees and public safety personnel, and that's what's going on here. Let me just tell you exactly what took place in terms of salaries. You cannot, and you don't do this in the private sector either, you cannot pick out one segment. You can't pick out a benefit. You can't pick out a salary. You can't pick out some other kind of portion of compensation and say, that's out of line. You have to look at total compensation, all in, all the benefits, all the wages, all the perks, whatever it is, all in. I insisted on that this year, because that's how you do business in companies. You look at every company I know of any size does a comparison survey in terms of salaries, because you have to keep up with your competition to be able to attract personnel. And you do it on the basis of total compensation. So for the police, we looked at what their wages were, what their pensions were, what their health plans were, all the costs of all the benefits. And what you do is you rack it up. For the fire department, for example, we ranked 11 out of 11 of comparable cities. For most city personnel, we are well below the median, in many cases at the bottom. Now, I'm sorry, but you can't run a city without people. If you think you can, we're all kidding ourselves. These people deserve to be compensated fairly. And what are we trying to do? When I was at Edison, our goal was to be in the middle of the second quartile. That's roughly about 70% of the comparison of the comparable companies. We are trying in Long Beach to get to the median, to the middle, and we probably will not make it in almost every category. Our goal is to get to the middle. Now, we can cry about salaries and we can cry about pay. Most city governments, most of their costs are in personnel, salaries and benefits. And you can pick out a benefit like pensions, like some of the folks over here, and say they're terrible, they're too high. And I actually agree with that. I agree that the pension changes were not made wisely years ago. And we've tried to correct it on our own. But we also have dealt with it in total compensation. So if you pick out and reduce or make somebody pay more for their pension or reduce their pension, you're going to have to increase their salary to keep them level. So pick your poison. When I started this conversation, I said, look, there are those who think you can get the $58 or $60 million by making roughly a 20% cut across the board to salaries and benefits for all city employees. The men in blue back there, the firefighter that comes to your house, the paramedic, etc. If you believe that, let me just tell you, if you believe that, then you should not support this. If you believe it, I think you're living in a parallel universe, but if you believe it, this isn't for you. This is for someone who understands what reality is. It's for someone who understands you have to pay people at least fairly, and it's for people who want to make this place better. Stop kidding yourselves. It takes money to do this. There's no realistic way of getting this in the general fund. And this, if you have competing measures on the ballot, I realize that. I know that the state or the regional government may put a half-cent sales tax. I know that the school district is asking for money. And I know we're in there as well. To that, I don't have any opinion on those other things. But on this one, I'll ask you to be a little bit selfish. Fix the place that's closest to your home. Let's get it fixed. It isn't going to happen without you. It isn't going to happen any other way. If it's not this, it's going to be another proposal. You cut the city cut the utility user tax in half, $40 million a year, not in the budget. Not in the budget. Thank you. Well, that may be one of the reasons you don't have streets, but that's okay. The fact is, but I'll tell you something, there's a legitimate point to that. This is dedicated to this. It cannot be used for anything else. So if you want this fixed, support this proposal. If you want to continue on the way we are and have things get worse, then don't. I hope you see the wisdom in doing this. You know, this, I wouldn't come to you and I wouldn't ask you to do this if this weren't important. And I don't see any other way of doing it. This is, I don't want to live in a city that doesn't fix itself, and I don't think you do as well.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just one other, a couple comments regarding why neighborhoods, why now. I've been with the city for 3 years, and since day one, I can't tell you how important neighborhoods have been from all of our 9 council members and Mayor O'Neill first, and now Mayor Foster. And just to show where our effort in that has been, I'm looking around the room. I see folk involved in our redevelopment agency, Alan Tolkoff, Annie's here. Dan Pressburg have worked very, very closely with our council offices to do some wonderful things in neighborhoods. You look at Cabrillo High School, the school district invested millions in that beautiful facility there, but we had this big, ugly, one-acre industrial building that led to a lot of crime there called the Green Monster under the direction of Councilmember Urenga. We went in with the redevelopment agency. That property no longer exists. Everyone was relocated, and that is slated for a 2-acre park that the councilwoman is working on right now. Additionally, you look at Dooley's Elementary School that was just recently established by the school. Another wonderful, wonderful thing in that neighborhood. But across the street from Dooley's was the Long Beach Liquor Store, which was a crime-filled liquor store, and the Wait Motel, an hour rent by the hour motel. The city, through the agency, looked at that and how could they allow that neighborhood to exist. If you're going to be walking your elementary school kids to and from Dooley's Elementary School every single day, you're going to be walking in front of that liquor store and that motel. The city jumped in, purchased that, and now we're working with the neighborhoods on what they want to see replaced there. Let's go to probably one of the worst crime areas and crime properties in the entire city of Long Beach year after year. It was Cash for Cans just down the block at Pine and PCH. It was under this city council's leadership with the redevelopment agency at Central Project Area that facility is gone now. Also the Ho-Hum Motel, which was adjacent to that, and the site of lots and lots and lots and lots of crime. And that, now we're working with the neighborhood on what the neighborhood... No, that's for real. And that we're doing that. We're also, even in areas to use our affordable housing dollars in this vein. We've got one property on Henderson Street that Chief Batts came to us, basically said, I need some help here. We just continue to arrest the tenants here, and the landlord puts in the same type of tenant, same type of tenant. The city, through its Long Beach Housing Development Company, I see Jack in the audience too helping out in this vein, purchased that property, relocated everybody. It's, I believe, 8 units or 9 units, Andy could tell me, and that's slated either for a park through a council member Andrews, or it'll be an affordable housing project. Additionally, we're working in the neighborhoods for affordable housing. We've got affordable housing developments that just opened up by Chavez School. We've got the Menorah Housing Project going up on Atlantic right now. We've got another project on Atlantic. We're just north of PCH. We're waiting for the soil to get clean a little bit. We just did some stuff on Pacific Avenue. So, again, this council cares about neighborhoods, and it is putting its money where its mouth is.
Can I take one the written questions again, then we'll go to Candy. This is a two-part question again. Why isn't the parcel tax on a sliding scale? Why should I pay the same for the tax for my home in the hood as someone who lives in Naples? Second part of that is, why aren't seniors subject to this tax without proof of financial need? They used up the infrastructure and did not plan to repair. How many households will be exempted as seniors?
First of all, I think I've answered in part why it's a fixed amount and not based on the value of property. This is not a property tax. It's not based. There are two reasons. As I said, everyone puts similar impacts on our infrastructure. It doesn't matter what size building you live in. Secondly, there's really no data from the county. We actually tried to look at this. We can't find data on square footage, and it was almost impossible to be able to do this, to be able to calculate what you would charge for various levels of square foot and residential properties. We tried to make this a relatively modest proposal, $10 a month for residents. We think that's reasonable. We think it's in the affordable range for virtually everyone, and it's fair because you're all putting, all of us are putting the same kinds of impact on infrastructure. What was the second part of that question?
Seniors. Why aren't seniors subject to this tax?
Seniors are exempt, and I believe, is that a legal requirement? Yeah, under state law, they have to apply to be exempt, but under state law, it's required to be exempt, so that's why they're exempt. Yeah, I'm sorry, only owner-occupied. Thank you.
I don't have a problem paying $120 a year for these improvements, but I think, like a lot of my neighbors, I've seen public works projects, streets, sidewalks, things done that didn't make a lot of sense. Right now, there are sidewalks that have just been repaired at 29th and Cedar, almost up to where the corners are, but no ramps installed. There's a man who lives there who's in a wheelchair, and he accompanies his kid to school every day. And so he doesn't have any ramps, in fact, between here and the elementary school. So things look like they're not making sense to us when we see a lot of public works projects. Now, I will say that Art Cox has been phenomenal in his response to us, but I'm concerned that we're not thinking about things innovatively. And, for example, we have an alley that no residents use. Only criminals use our alley. It's paved. We would love to recycle our alley to a block that needs it. And we would like to take back our alley, have the city vacate the easement, so we can actually grow more vegetables and have a better environment here. Things like innovative thinking like that, which will cut down on police response, crime, lots of bad stuff. I'd like to see some kind of an effort put forth for new ideas.
Thank you. You sound like a great candidate for the Citizens Advisory Committee. let me try to address, and I'll have Pat answer it in a little bit more detail. But, you know, actually, I think that, you know, I see the same things you do quite often. I wonder, what the heck? You just had the water department come through and do something, and you have the street guys come through 6 months later. That does occur once in a while. We're trying to eliminate that. Now, give us a little bit of credit. We're trying to do that. We're trying to make sure that we're integrated between water, between public works, between parks and rec, and to get things. We're not going to get everything right. It's never going to be 100% right. But I think we are doing better, and we're going to do even better in the future. And as Pat mentioned, we have done some innovative things on 7th and PCH. Normally, public works would have taken what? 4 months? 4 months, you know, close this lane, put all the signs up, you know, close that lane, put all the signs up, pave it, back and forth. And they said, you know, we have a different way of doing this. Let's go and notify all the neighbors, all the business owners, going to close it for 2 weekends, work around the clock, get it done, have an impact that's minimal. And it worked very well. We have to be more innovative. I think we will be more innovative. I'll let Pat speak to it more, but I think we have made strides in getting much more integration, which is what it really takes. If the water department's going to dig something up, you know, at the same time, you want to do whatever street repairs are necessary at that time instead of going back later on. So it will get better. And this idea with the alley, I don't know the specifics, but that sounds like a great idea. I mean, we'll put it forward. Pat?
Thank you, Mayor. First off, we have problems every once in a while, so I can't stick up for things when we do make screw-ups. All I can promise you is that we will pay attention, and things like the ADA ramps and stuff, if you could bring that to Art's attention, if it's something, no, but Art gets it to us, and we do a great job with ADA throughout the entire community. I mean, we've spent about $6 million over like an 8-year period to try to do as much as possible with the ADA areas. So we're pretty much caught up to speed there, so I don't know why those ramps didn't get done. But we do try to look at things differently now, and I tell you right now that if you could get all of your neighbors to sign a petition and vacate that alley, we'd do it tomorrow. I mean, that would be important to us.
We're there. I could actually answer this for you. If you go to enough of the workshops, the parcel tax would go to the general fund. What will stop you from using it for emergencies, some other emergencies first, then infrastructure?
Parcel tax does not go in the general fund. Parcel tax, by state law, goes in a special fund, and not $1 of that money can go into the general fund by state law. It has to only go in a special fund for infrastructure, only to be used for the projects that are outlined, the general categories that are outlined in that handout. That's what it has to be used for. It does not get commingled with anything in the general fund.
It's taken a long time for appointment to boards and commissions. Will the Oversight Committee take a long time to appoint, too?
No, actually, one of the problems on, first of all, I made some very timely appointments to boards and commissions. We have vacancies because we actually are still waiting a report on trying to alter, modify, change, consolidate some of our boards and commissions in the city. But this will be appointed right away, I can guarantee you. If this thing passes, we'll have this thing up and running on board within 30 days.
The second part of that is, how did you prioritize branch libraries, such as Bret Hart and Burnett?
Again, those were done by the statistics that our Public Works Department came up with, along with our engineers, our outside engineers, to do that. But again, I think that's where the Citizens Advisory Commission comes in and would help us prioritize those even further if the bond were to pass.
Mr. Mayor, it's obvious that we need to do something, but I do have a question, and that is, assuming that this passes, is there any type of prioritization of the sequence of repairing streets and sidewalks? Because I'll tell you this, if there is, I'd like to see the priority take place from the west side of Long Beach moving into the Wrigley area. And I'll tell you why, Mr. Mayor. It seems that West Long Beach is bombarded with all kinds of things. I wonder, are you going to prioritize based on need, or are you going to prioritize in area? And if it's need and or area, we are qualified by both criteria.
Let me try to comment. It is again, and I understand. It is according to need. It is prioritized according to need. Every area of the city will get work. But I just want to point at the west side issue. One of the things when I ran for mayor is I said I was going to make sure that this is one city. We're all aware of the east-west divide. Everybody knows that. And I saw it, and I do not want to have any part of this city feel like they're not connected to the whole. So my first port commissioner, right under the diesel death zone, right there in West Long Beach. We had the first planning commissioner from the 9th district, way up in North Long Beach. We've got one or two from the 8th district on the planning commission. I'm trying to do what I can to make sure this is one city. Also, our council members are well aware, particularly the ones who represent those areas, and they are very forceful in making sure that things get done in that area. These projects are going to all be done by contract for the most part, and they've got to be approved by the council. They've got to come to council for approval. But we're going to fix everything according to need. And I'm going to guess, I haven't looked at it, if you look at that street map, you'll see a lot of streets in West Long Beach. You'll see a lot of storm drains in West Long Beach. You'll see a lot of public safety facilities in West Long Beach. It's going to be all over the city. But, we can argue about, in some ways, I'm not saying you're doing this, but I've seen this happen. We start arguing about the pie before we have the pie. So, and it's true. It's true. We start arguing about its allocation before we even have this. This has got to get done, and it's not going to be easy. I don't want to underestimate how difficult it is. It's doable. It's been done before. Two-thirds is not something that's going to happen like that. It's going to require all of you who care about this to work for it, all of you to help, talk to your neighbors, talk to your business associates, your colleagues at work. It's going to take that kind of talk out there to get this done, because it's really easy to say no and be negative, very easy to say no and be negative. I just don't want to do it. I don't want to spend the money. Oh, you guys in government stink. You can't do anything. We don't want to do anything. If you believe that, what are you living in this community for? I mean, it's going to take people really spending time and caring about their community to get this done. The Citizens Committee is going to help. Your vigilance is going to help. But I'm telling you, I have it in my soul that I want this to be one city. I've tried to do that in my appointments. I've tried to do that in terms of the public safety, the additions we've made to the force and more people out in that street, in terms of what we've done with the port, in terms of a vocational education out of Jordan High School. I think my record's pretty clear. I want this city to be one city. I want it to look good. I want it to function well. And I want it to be much, much better than it is today.
There are no real details in the tax to describe the direction dollars are spent.
Well, first of all, you get this a lot. You say, why isn't this in the ordinance? Why didn't you take that entire report and stick it in the ordinance? And I have to tell you, that would be a very foolish thing to do. What's in the ordinance are the categories to spend it on. You know, let me just say, you've got to have this is not a trust us issue. This is basically don't assume bad faith. First of all, the law requires you can only spend it on these things. If you put every project in the ordinance, imagine the problem if, let's just say for one moment, that the state or federal government has a change of heart and has an epiphany, and that they're now going to fund more street work or more road work. Well, if that happens, you can either do more roads in here that may be different than what you outlined in your ordinance, and you couldn't do it, or you could take some of these dollars and move it from roads to storm drains, for example. You need flexibility among the categories. But the projects that are outlined there are what's on the need schedule. That will be done. It has to be approved by the city council. It can only be used for those purposes. And you have to assume an awful lot of bad faith to try to think it's not going to be done. All of us have to stand for election. I'm telling you this is going to be done. We're going to use it for these projects that are already outlined. We're going to get things done. You'll see it in January. I don't know what else I can tell you. State law says you can't use it for anything else. So if that doesn't give you comfort, I don't know what else would do. You would not put this in an ordinance. It would be, you have no flexibility if you do that.
Would you call the auditor every year?
Sorry, what?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. This is audited every year. And I might add, once those bonds are issued, you're going to have bond counsel requiring audits on how this is spent. In fact, we're obligated, once the bonds are issued, not only is this required by state law, they actually have, the bondholders actually have call on the property as collateral. So this thing has got belts and suspenders. It's only going to be used for these things.
The Long Beach Report ran an editorial that inferred there are other projects that that City Hall has in mind but are not discussing. So are there?
I can't imagine what was in the mind of Mr. Pearl. But I don't know, other projects, not in this. Do we need a new civic center? Sure, we do. Do we need a new library? Sure, we do. But the civic center is not in here, and it's not going to be done. There are, I don't know what other projects you may, there are other infrastructure projects which might have been nice to have. They're not included. What's included is what I've outlined.
Wasn't there talk about the budget
meetings
about the library being included?
Yeah, no, the main library is included in here, and a couple of neighborhood libraries. Part of the main library is included. We still have to raise additional funds.
Any other questions?
I guess so.
I think you're going to be talking in a month, are you not, here? Okay.
What I'd like to know is, I don't understand how the city does their finances. We negotiate contracts for money that you know we didn't have. Then you do the budget, and they confirms that you don't have the money. Most people, when they do their budget, they do it first, then figure they can buy the car or they can buy a couch. We spend the money, then we do our budget. I don't understand that. I mean, it seems sort of ass backwards.
Well, I understand the point. I would just say this. I'll go back to what I said before. It takes people to run a city. If you think you can have a fire department without firemen and firewomen, more power to you. I think that paying people a fair salary so that they stay in this city is every bit as important as fixing streets. It's part of our human infrastructure. Now, I believe that. It's very simple and easy to say we shouldn't pay people. A lot of these folks went without raises for several years. They did go without raises. And they have been paid, I don't know how many times I have to say it, they've been paid well below, at the bottom in most cases. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have people compensated fairly. There'll be fewer of them, and there are going to be fewer of them. I'd rather have paid people compensated fairly and have fewer of them. And this way I know I have competent people and I can attract people in this city. There's no free lunch here, and you know that and I know that. You don't pay people, you're not going to get quality people here. The police force had a problem with, 15 or 16 guys, 17 officers going to other jurisdictions, our senior-most people. You think you can run a police force without senior officers? You cannot. We had graphic proof that we were not paying anywhere near competitive salaries. I mean, I'm going to say it again. It's really easy and it's kind of a cheap shot. Go ahead, pick on public employees. They're easy to do. They don't do work. They don't do this. They got this. They have that. You know what? Wake up. They're the guys that pick up your trash. They're the guys that fix your street. The guy engineers your water system. The guy that comes out in a paramedic's uniform and saves your life, perhaps. I don't know about you. I want competent people doing that. Thank you very much for being here this evening. I really appreciate it. Thank you.